opened his mouth and taught them, saying, Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And we've already spoken about the poor in spirit and humility. Verse 4, Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. And we covered that last week. In verse 5, Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Let's go to the Lord in prayer as we begin our message. Lord, I thank you this morning for these that have come out to hear your word. Lord, there's nothing really that I have to say that's very important, but Lord, it's what you have in your word. I pray that you'll help me to deliver this and say the things that you want me to say. Help us all to be meek people, Lord, so that we can be more like you. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Well, meekness is probably, out of all the Beatitudes, meekness is probably the one that's the most misunderstood. Today, we're taught if you want to be successful in your life, you've got to be aggressive. You've got to crawl over people. You've got to climb your way to the top. Even if it means taking advantage of someone, do whatever you have to do to be successful. There's a popular TV show on now, The Apprentice. And is it Donald Trump that I think is the main guy there? And each week he says, you're fired, you know. But the whole idea is you've got these people competing to be successful according to the world standards. Well, we're told to do whatever we have to do in order to be successful in life. But the Bible teaches us that the way to be successful is by being meek. It's not by taking advantage of people or anything like that. In fact, today, if you call someone meek, it's really like you're hurling an insult at them. What is the saying? If someone is meek, we say they're meek as a mouse, right? In other words, we kind of equate meekness with weakness. But meekness is not weakness. Meekness is actually a strength, and that's what we're going to talk about, what we're going to look at this morning. Did you know that the Bible only calls two people in the Bible meek? Moses and the Lord Jesus Christ. And neither one of those were weak men. Moses, he led almost 3 million people out of bondage in Egypt. And so he was a leader of that many people. He could not have been a weak man. We know, of course, that Jesus wasn't weak. He went and died on the cross and suffered for you and for me. So we know that he wasn't weak. So what is it about meekness that is so different, that's not weakness? Let me give you some sample verses, and you don't need to look these up. But the Bible's full of verses regarding this attribute of meekness. Psalms 22 and verse 26 says, The meek shall eat and be satisfied. They shall praise the Lord that seek him. Psalms 25 and verse 9 says, The meek will he guide in judgment, and the meek will he teach his way. Psalms 147 and verse 6, The Lord lifteth up the meek. Isaiah 29 and verse 19, The meek also shall increase their joy in the Lord. Titus 3 and verse 2 says, Speak no evil of no man, be no brawlers, but gentle, showing all meekness unto all men. So there's several verses in the Bible that tell us that meekness is an important quality. Now, Jesus again is instructing his own disciples on the Sermon on the Mount, and he's telling them that in the kingdom to come, that people will be meek. Now, truth be told, here on earth right now, not everyone you come across is a meek person, are they? And we're going to talk about that here in just a moment. But that's what we ought to strive to be. If you're a believer, if you're a Christian, then you should strive to be a meek person. Just like Jesus says in the kingdom, that's what it's going to be like. He says those that are meek will inherit the earth. Well, let's look at what meekness is. First of all, let's look at meekness defined. If Jesus says that those that are blessed, and the word blessed means what? It means happy. If those that are happy are meek, then we need to know what meekness is. If meekness is not weakness, what exactly is meekness? Well, there's certain ingredients to meekness. And I think number one, meekness, one characteristic or ingredient, is gentleness, the attribute of gentleness. You know, a meek person is someone who is gentle, somebody who's tenderhearted. I remember back when wrestling first started getting really popular, I think back in the 80s, you know, you had Hulk Hogan and some of these guys. How many of you remember Andre the Giant? Andre the Giant was a big old guy. I think he was 7 foot, and I think he's dead now. But he was a great big guy, but he was known as a gentle giant, which I guess meant that other than wrestling, of course, you know that's real. Wrestling's real stuff, you know. There's nothing fake about that. But whenever he wrestled, you know, he was this mean character and all that. But he was really a tender-hearted, loving kind of guy. Did you know that you and I should have the attribute of gentleness in our life? You know, you can be a real strong person and yet be gentle in your nature. Several of you know a man that I'm going to mention here. His name is Kevin Oliver. Kevin Oliver is a deacon in my dad's church in Mount Vernon. And Kevin is one of these guys, I almost cringe every time I go to shake his hand, because he's got a grip that'll just shrivel your hand. I feel like a little weakling when I shake his hand, so I try to just wave at him, you know. But when you go to shake his hand, he just puts a crush on you. But there's probably no meeker man that I know than Kevin Oliver. Kevin is one of these guys that he'll just weep. And did you know weeping is not a weakness? Sometimes if you're moved by maybe the Spirit of God, or you're moved by something that happens, that's not a weak thing to cry. That's actually a strength. But Kevin is one of these guys that he's strong, strong as an ox. We were taking a wood-burning stove out of my brother's house a few years ago, and we couldn't fit our bodies and the stove through the door. And we had Kevin helping us, and Kevin said, "Guys, just get out of the way." And I never seen a guy, and I'm telling you the truth, Kevin wrapped his arms around that wood-burning stove and stepped out the door with that thing. He really, and I don't know how much it weighed. It had to weigh probably 400 or 500 pounds. But Kevin's just this real strong guy, but he has a meek spirit about him. So I think that gentleness is one ingredient to being meek, is having a gentle spirit or a tender heart. Number two, if we're going to be meek, another ingredient is being like Jesus. Listen to 2 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 1. The Apostle Paul is speaking, and he says, "Now I, Paul, myself beseech you by the meekness and gentleness of Christ." Christ was a meek person. Remember, Jesus said that, "For I am meek and lowly." He was a meek person. Now, he wasn't weak. We all know the story of Jesus. Remember when he chased the money changers out of the temple? Because they were basically desecrating the temple. They were in it for the money, but they weren't really in it for God. And he chased them out of there and turned the tables over and all that. So Jesus wasn't weak, but he was a meek person. That is our goal, is to be like Jesus. You say, "Well, Brother Tim, how can I be like Jesus? I'm not perfect like him." No, and neither am I. That's for sure. But how can we be like Jesus? Being like Jesus, first of all, means that we have to become born again. If we're going to be like Jesus, we have to know him. I remember back when I played basketball back in high school, Michael Jordan was the man. And there was a song, a Gatorade commercial, a song that was, "I want to be like Mike. Want to be like Mike." He was the idol, "Be Like Mike." And of course, we all wanted to be Michael Jordan when we played basketball. But I didn't know Michael Jordan personally. I admired his basketball skills, but I didn't know him. But did you know you can know the Lord Jesus Christ? You may not be able to see him visibly, but you can know him right here in your heart if you accept him as your Savior. And how do you do that? Well, these tracts in the pew tell you how to do that. First of all, you have to come to him as a sinner and with a meek attitude. "Lord, I'm a sinner. There's nothing I can do to earn heaven on my own." Come to him like that and say, "Jesus, please come into my heart and save me." And he'll do that. That's salvation. It's as simple as that. That's part of being saved. And then to be like Jesus after that means to walk like Jesus, to talk like Jesus, to do the things Jesus would want you to do. Now, we don't do that all the time, do we? I would like to think that every day I act like Jesus, but I don't, and I guarantee you don't either, because things come along in our life. There's times when we say things we shouldn't say, or we think things we shouldn't think, or we do things we shouldn't do. Those are times when we need to ask for forgiveness. But if we're going to be the Christian that we should be, that's why we pray, that's why we study God's Word, is to be more like Jesus and to be meek like Him. So that's the second ingredient, is to be like Jesus if we're going to have meekness in our life. The third ingredient of meekness is strength under control. It means having strength and yet being under control. Listen to the book of Proverbs. Proverbs is full of things about meekness and about just about everyday life. The book of Proverbs is rich just with things in it about how we should live our lives. Listen to Proverbs chapter 15 or 16 and verse 32. The Bible says, "He that is slow to anger is better than the mighty, and he that ruleth his spirit than he that taketh the city." What does that mean? That means someone that keeps their reactions under control. He that ruleth his spirit, or he that is slow to anger. Someone that doesn't fly off the handle just like that at every little thing. A meek person won't do that. They'll control their reactions. Listen to Proverbs chapter 25 and verse 28. "He that hath no rule over his own spirit is like a city that is broken down and without walls." Do you know of someone that doesn't have any rule over their own spirit? Just they look to get upset about anything. and they just they stay upset all the time. Maybe keep things stirred up at work or maybe at home. They don't have meekness in their life. If we're going to be meek, we've got to have control over our reactions, over how we react to people. And we call that self-control, don't we? We say self-control or self-discipline. That simply means controlling your reactions, being meek, and controlling our reactions. Well, that's meekness defined. Now let's look at meekness demonstrated. How is meekness demonstrated? The Bible, again, is full of people who demonstrate meekness in their lives. I told you the two people that the Bible calls meek, Moses and Jesus, but there's some other people that even though the Bible doesn't say they were meek people. First of all is Joseph. If you're familiar with the story of Joseph from Genesis chapter 37 to the end of the book of Genesis is all about the life of Joseph. Now, Joseph was the one that had the coat of many colors. If you remember that from Sunday school when you were little, Joseph's father, Jacob, had given him a coat of many colors. And he was basically the favorite of his father's children. His father had 12 sons, and Joseph was the favorite one. Well, his brothers didn't like that. And his brothers hated him so much that actually some of them wanted to kill him. But at a time when they were all kind of out somewhere alone, some of his brothers decided, hey, we're going to kill him because they just couldn't stand him because he was his father's favorite. His older brother said, no, let's not kill him. Let's sell him into slavery. Let's put him in a pit. They sell him into slavery, and so Joseph ends up going into Egypt, and he lives a life of a slave. Now, he has good things happen to him and bad things happen to him throughout his life, but all this time, his father thinks he's dead. So he's in Egypt, and to make a long story short, Joseph eventually, because of his faithfulness to God, Joseph becomes second in command right under Pharaoh. And there ends up being a famine in the land, which means there was no food and no water. And Joseph was the one in charge of giving out the food and distributing the water to people. Well, guess who needs food and water? His brothers. The same ones that had sold him into slavery, the same ones that wanted to kill him years ago. So they come to Egypt and they don't even recognize Joseph. It's several years later. They don't even know who he is. They don't recognize his face. Now, they come to him for food and water. What would your reaction have been if you were Joseph? Tough turkey, man. You're just going to have to go hungry. You're just going to have to be thirsty. Remember what you did to me back here? I'm not going to help you now. Joseph could have done that, but no. He had strength under control. He was meek, and even though he could have done that to his own brothers, Joseph decided, hey, I'm going to do better than that. He said, you intended bad for me, but the Lord intended it for good. And Joseph took, instead of a bad circumstance, he took that for good, and he actually helped his own brothers out, gave them food and water, and God blessed Joseph's life because of his meek attitude. When he could have turned on his own brothers, you know, you might have the opportunity to do that one day. There's a saying, when you're in high school, always be nice to the nerds because you might work for them someday. All right, there's a lot of truth in that. I was one of those nerds in school, so to tell you. But you could be mean to somebody back here, and did you know you might have the opportunity to get back at them years later? But if you're a meek person, you're going to put that behind you, and you're going to say, hey, you know, that was then, this is now. I want to be blessed. I'm going to be a meek person. That's what God expects out of us. Another man is David. David is another man that had a meek spirit. King Saul wanted to kill David. Saul was the king, but yet the people really looked to David. They thought David was the one that was really a great person. And so Saul chased David around trying to kill him. And actually David in the book, you can read this in the book of 1 Samuel, David had two opportunities to actually kill King Saul. One time actually, he even slipped into the cave where Saul was sleeping and he cut part of his garment just to prove to Saul, hey, I could have killed you. I could have done you harm. And he showed him that piece of cloth. But David wouldn't kill him because Saul was God's anointed. He was the king, and that's who God had set there. And even though he had the opportunity, Saul was trying to kill him, but David wouldn't do it because he kept his reactions under control. That's the point I'm trying to drive across. You may come across someone in your life that you work with, somebody that's a part of your family, and you would like to get that person back. Maybe they've done something to you. But if you're meek, you're going to say, no, I put that behind me. I'm going to do what's right. I'm going to be a meek person. I'm going to control the way that I react. That's being meek and being like the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, Moses is another one. Moses was meek. Remember when God told Moses to lead the children out of Egypt? Moses didn't think he could do it. Moses said, God, I can't speak. I'm not much of a leader. I can't do that. But Moses trusted God anyway. And remember, he went to Pharaoh and you had the 10 plagues, the lice and the frogs and all that. And finally, after the 10th plague of the firstborn being killed, Pharaoh lets the people go. But it wasn't Moses and his strength. It was Moses relying on God. He was meek enough to know that he couldn't do it himself, that he had to rely on God. The same thing applies to you and me. If we'll trust God through whatever circumstances we have, you know, it may be family, it may be finances. We all face hardships and things in our life. But if we'll trust God and know that we don't have all the answers, God will bless us and he'll help us through those times. Well, number three, meekness is demanded. God requires a meek spirit for salvation. Psalms 149 and verse 4 says this. Psalms 149:4. Let me get to it. It says, For the Lord taketh pleasure in his people, he will beautify the meek with salvation. You know, only a meek person can be saved. The Bible tells us, Jesus himself said, except you come as a little child, you shall not enter the kingdom of heaven. Which means what? It means this, that you come as a little child, you're meek, and you say, Lord, I can't save myself. I'm not good enough to go to heaven. If we come to the Lord like that, that's being meek. That's saying then, Lord, you can save me. I can't save myself, but you can save me. That is being meek and having a broken spirit. And then meekness also gives glory to God. Did you know that when you show meekness in your life, that you're actually giving glory to God? Listen to 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 4. 1 Peter 3 and verse 4. The Bible says, but let it be the hidden man of the heart, and that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God a great price. That's in 1 Peter 3 and verse 4. A meek and quiet spirit, which is to God in the sight of God a great price. Again, what does the world put a great price on? The world puts a great price on success, right? How you look, the clothes that you wear, how much money you have, the house you live in, the vehicle you drive, all these things we're supposed to have in order to look successful in the world. But did you know that doesn't matter at all to God? Because listen, one of these days, when you and I are laid in the ground, we're not taking one bit of that with us. We can't take any of it with us. And all we will be is a story for other people to talk about. Then what really matters is our relationship with Christ. And to God, he says a meek and a quiet spirit is what is a great price to him. The world tells us, you know, a great price is, boy, if you can drive the latest vehicle or if you can have the nicest home, that's really something. No, God says have a meek spirit, and that's what's really of great price or great value. Well, lastly, how is meekness determined? How can you determine whether you're meek or not? It's kind of like humility. You know, if you think you have humility, you probably don't. You know, one of the greatest things about me is my humility. You know, you can't really say that. So how can you determine whether you're a meek person or not? Well, I think there's five marks that we can look at to see if you and I are demonstrating meekness in our lives. Number one is you only get angry when God is dishonored. You only get angry when God is dishonored. This is one of those verses. If you have your Bibles, turn to Psalms 119 and verse 165. I do want you to turn to this one. This is one of those verses that I mentioned to you, you might highlight in your Bible. In Psalms 119, verse 165. You know, we have a lot of things that we can get angry about if we let it get to us. You know, there's plenty of opportunities that comes up to let us be angry with our spouse, or maybe with our parents, or maybe with a neighbor or a coworker. That's just part of life. We have opportunities to get angry. But did you know that we ought to be able to control that if we're meek people? Look at Psalms 119, verse 165. This is one of my favorite verses in the Bible, and it's a good one to highlight or underline. It says, great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. Nothing shall offend them. If you can live a life where you're not offended by anything, that is great. That's a great value to God.